Yeah, good morning. It is great to stand before you this morning. For visitors, we appreciate you being here. Just as a disclaimer, I'm not the usually paid minister. This is for free. Expect little, because keep your expectations low or whatever that is. We do appreciate you all being here this morning. I want to spend some time with you, going over these verses in 2 Timothy, and discussing how they apply to us and on this day we're living in. But first of all, we're going to talk about communication, the power of communication. Paul, in his last days, in his first few verses of chapter 4, is talking about his communication with Timothy. Communication is a powerful thing we have. Communication is vitally important, and God expects us to communicate with one another. He expects us to communicate with him. Right? So sometimes we have that opportunity to communicate with one another, and we have those opportunities to communicate with God, but sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we have the world creep in on us. Sometimes we have health issues creep in on us. Sometimes we creep out ourselves. We wander off. And Paul talks about a lot of this stuff that he wants Timothy to be aware of. And I want all of us to be aware of that same thing today. So there's two types of and two forms of communication. One being with God, one being with us. Interaction with one another, whether in the church or outside the church. And I personally like to hear people's stories. I like people. Not everybody likes me. That's okay. Not everybody likes you. But I like to hear people's stories. I like to hear about their life, their opportunities that they've had, their development, their education, their backgrounds and their work. I like to hear their story. I like to share my story. Sometimes we think we know somebody else's story, and sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. So I encourage you to ask people's story. Hear part of their journey in life. Because we all have these things that happen to us, things that are events in our life. Sometimes they're life-changing. Sometimes they're just the mundane, everyday, usual things. But they all happen for a purpose. So I want to encourage you to communicate with one another and sharing stories. And I want to encourage you also to communicate with God. Communicate with God perhaps more so than you have in the past. I think sometimes we get to the point where we, as I said in class this morning, we get to the point where we're 19, 20 years old and we know everything. Okay. So then we get to ourselves, we're 35, 40 years old and now we do know everything. And we get ourselves at 55, 60 years old and we think, oh, them kids don't know anything. And then we get ourselves under 70, 80 years old, and we think, oh, I have so much to learn. I have so much to know about what God wants and expects out of me. So I want to encourage you to communicate with God. Pray with God more often. Pray with him more intentionally. Ask him for specific things. Live that life that is intentional in your relationship and communication with one another and with God. So let's get into the text. Verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God, of Jesus, and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom. Preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. How many times do you ever see that in life, right? We find ourselves in a journey. Paul is teaching Timothy, this is going to happen. This has happened. And 1 Timothy, Paul goes into more detail of what he wants and expects from people. And in this last chapter, the last plea that Paul has, he wants to talk to his good friend, Timothy. He wants Timothy to come to him as others have. And as for you, verse 4, and many will turn away from listening to truth and wander off in the myths. And verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, and doing the work of evangelists, fulfilling your ministry. And that's the key we have to pick up on today, and that is fulfilling our ministry. All right? So, first of all, Paul tells us in chapter 4, and he tells Timothy, preach the word. God's word is accessible by everyone. Today, with digital media, our phones, our laptops, Bibles and hard copy, turning pages, whatever it is, whatever form it is, we have access to Scripture. My son-in-law likes to read out of the older and Greek and Roman language, right? Easily to read, but it comes, it gives you a little better understanding of some of the words and the intentionality of God speaking to us through Scripture. God's word is very important, and it's very important for Paul to stress to Timothy to preach the word. God's word is everything. It is powerful. It is what makes everything happen. And Paul was stressing to Timothy, preach the word. Paul is intense when he tells Timothy that he's stressing, and he lists names of others that have succumbed to the worldly way, that have stopped preaching, that have stopped helping Paul, and have stopped helping others. Yet Paul is urging Timothy to be strong and faithful to the end. Christ is charging us with the same charge. Be faithful to the end. And I want you to understand that we are partners in this life we are in. Christ is with us, the Spirit was with us, the Father is with us. And yet all of us are with each other as well. We are the people that build this congregation up by communicating to somebody, by talking to them, inviting them to church. We are partners in strengthening this body of believers when someone has having a bad week or they get a bad diagnosis. People matter. Our influence, our care, our concern, our encouragement matters. If you don't think it matters, talk to me. This task must be seen as a serious expectation from Jesus upon us. He's expecting us to reach out to help others. He's expecting us to make a phone call to help somebody. He's expecting us to make a card out and send to somebody. Write a letter to somebody. Keep track of somebody when they move to a different state. Keep track of somebody when they're in a hospital. All for the good intentions of helping and encouraging the body of believers worldwide as they struggle and they have difficulties. The worldly time is coming. Paul is warning Timothy that many people have wandered off into myths, fables, ideas, a better way of worship, more intense way of getting close to God. Not true. God's word is intentionally the purpose why we have that call to us to push out the world, push out that enticement of the improved worship service, push out the ideas of a better way of connecting with God, push out the myths and the great ideas that change the worship of sincere hearts, praising and giving glory to God and reading his word. Paul is stressing to Timothy and to us, don't be like others. Don't compromise. Don't give in. Don't be distracted by the world's enticements. Stand strong against the tides and the currents of this world. Next, Paul tells Timothy, be sober-minded. What does sober-minded mean? You know what that is? You can say yes or no. Sober-minded means to be emotionally calm. Does that mean you can never raise your voice? No. That means you're never going to be intense? Paul's intense. Be sober-minded. Be respectful of the situation you're in. Be diligent with God's word. And be faithful who your Creator is. Sober-minded. A key point of being sober-minded, as Paul was telling Timothy, and that is to be brave. Be brave and say the words that need to be said. Do a gut check on yourself. Ask yourself, am I doing right here? Is this the right thing to do? Is this the right thing to say? Is it okay to stay home from worship today because I don't feel good? I don't like them people anyway. They don't like me. Ask yourself, am I on the path that God has created for me in this year, in this time? If you're here today, I'm going to say, yes. And you can say, you need to preach this to somebody else, Steve. I'm bringing it up today because this is important to me, for me, and it's important for you, for you. And we all have to take this out to those ones that are not here today. Encourage those ones out there that you have a sober mind and you want to encourage them to come to church to worship. Give the praise to God for what he has done for you and for what he has done for them. Enduring suffering. Paul is telling Timothy and us, share in that suffering, whether it be physical, emotional, or mental. Yes, there is a cost to suffering. It wears on our body, wears on our nerves, wears on our egos. Some people can't take any more. They are stressed out to the fact that they are done listening to people. They are done with this stress. They're done with this sickness. They're done with all that. And they quit. Is that what God wants us to do? I don't think so. That's not what Paul wants Timothy to do. He doesn't want him to quit. He wants him to endure the suffering. The evil one will distract us and plant seeds of doubt and ideas of change your priority. Make yourself more important than others of what's going on in your life. And I'm going to encourage you to not take that bait. He will attempt to deceive us, debilitate us, to discourage us with pain, diagnosis, or hurt feelings, and ultimately to derail us to the point where we give up. He whispers, stop going to fellowship times, stop going to dinners, stop calling people, stop sending cards, just stop it all. Take care of yourself. I am inspired by, and I'm going to call somebody out, I am inspired by Winnie Kemp. I'm inspired by Kenny Stewart. Here are people that are well up in their age, and they don't have to come to church. They don't have to make a phone call. They don't have to send up prayers, but they do. They do because they love God and they love others. Fulfill your ministry. Paul is stressing to Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Remember this simple truth. The word of God does the work of God by the Spirit of God through the people of God. Saying a prayer, sharing a scripture that helps you, it will help others. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. We're all frail, we're weak, and often are a bad example of Christ. Yet his Spirit will smooth a lot of those weak and brittle edges that we carry. His words and his will is how people are converted. Christ expects us to share and to come, to share, to care, and to love others, and to speak how Jesus Christ has changed them and molded them and molded us into more like Christ every day. So never stop, or better yet, let's start again that you perhaps stopped your ministry. So as for you, as Paul said to Peter, as Paul said to Timothy, as for you, so now I say, as for you, as for me, what about us? Where are we at? Where are you at 90 years old? Where are you at 35 years old? Pick your age. Where are you at? Jesus has spared your life to this point. He spared my life several times. And I've asked that question, why? And I think I have a task to do. I have something to do, or otherwise he would not continue to spare my life. Well, I'm healthy, I'm young, I'm 40 years old, I'm good. I want to encourage you to appreciate God has given you another day. God has given you another day, another opportunity to be you. Remember, we are created in God's image way back in the beginning of knitting us together, placing us in our mother's womb, and we were born with certain talents and a personality that is fit for him to use. He chose you. He chose all of us, knowing that we have a purpose and he has given us expectations. Expectations of doing the right thing at the right time. So let's look at some of those. Always be sober-minded, not easily swayed, self-controlled. If you find yourself someone who's not that way, it's okay. Many of us have been that way before. With God's help, with support, with encouragement, you can change. You can be better. You can have more self-control. You won't be swayed by the influences of the world. You won't be distracted as easily. Enduring suffering. Don't stay in that ditch. Get yourself out of that woe is me. Think about somebody else. There is somebody else. There's somebody else that perhaps are in worse condition that you're in. And I'm not minimizing those ones that are going through cancer, going through treatments, those that have a bad diagnosis, but I'm inspired by some of those and most of those that are here today that are battling that cancer, battling that difficulty. I'm inspired to not look at my issues, my simple distractions, to stay focused, stay connected, get out of the ditch, be that brighter star, study God's word more. And as Paul said in 1 Timothy, press on. We're never meant to be tending the grave. Next thing is share your testimony or your story. Offer support. I told this in class today about how I was at the D-Day reenactment, I think 2 weeks ago now. 2 weeks ago at a D-Day reenactment in Lake Erie, Conneaut, Ohio. I was having a good time. One of the chaperones for the kids at JCCS, and very much a fantastic event in teaching all of us that were there what the D-Day event was like in the reenactment process. They had tents set up. It was for the United States Army. They had a place set up that was the Poland and the Switzerland, and they had also a camp set up, and it was the Germans. Very good. And then they had a reenactment later in the day. But before the reenactment, I had the opportunity to eat lunch. So I grabbed my hamburger and my French fries, and I sat down at a picnic table by myself because I didn't want to talk to anybody else particularly that day. I just wanted to kind of have a prayer, eat my food, watch the kids that were very good. There's several thousand people there. But as I sat there at the table, somebody said my grace for my food, and then another lady sat down across from me and asked me if I could she sit there, and I said, yeah, sure. So she sat down, and then her husband sat down 30 seconds later carrying their food, and she we introduced ourselves briefly, and then she asked me, she said, you're a Christian? I said, yeah. She goes, how long have you been a Christian? I said, oh, a number of years. And she said, tell me your testimony. Tell me your story. So I did. I started off, as I've told many of you, a little bit about my journey when I was a fourth grader, picking a Bible, blah, 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 kind of all the way up through the process where I was at today. oftentimes stopping and saying, can you tell me about yourself? No, go ahead. Eat your food. So David, the man's name was, who was sitting across from me, was encouraging me to do that. And so I did that. And so I continued to tell my story. And then I was anxious for them to, I said, okay, not for me. Tell me your story. So they told me their story, how she was a Christian at a young age, about fourth, fifth grade, and how David was not a Christian until much later, in his 20s. They dated in high school, they got married, blah, 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 blah. Very nice. I told Kurt this story a few days after it happened, and I said to them, I said to Kurt, I said, as I said in class today, you think these guys were professionals? Just a common people. He works for a corrosion coating company. She is a retired school teacher. They're in their late 60s and 70s. Just wonderful people. And then I realized, what have you done, Steve? Why didn't you reach out to somebody sitting at a picnic table by themselves? Why don't you reach out to somebody else and say, hey, what's your testimony? What's your story? I didn't do that. They were so gracious, so polite, so kind, so respectful. And at the end, he asked if we could have a prayer together. And I said, yes, can I have the prayer? And you can follow me up. And he did. He also gave me this bracelet. On his bracelet says, he came, he died, he arose, he ascended, he's coming back. Reminded me that I can do different things if I allow God to work through me. Right? It's a great experience. So share your testimony, share your story, offer support to somebody. Doesn't have to be a big fancy thing. Don't have to be a public thing. It can be one-on-one, one-on-two, two-on-one. But I didn't feel hurt or offended, and they were very calm, peaceful, sober-minded Christians. They told me what church they go to. I told them what church I go to. Invited me to come up there sometime if I'm ever in the community to stop over their house for dinner, for lunch. We'll go to lunch. We'll go out. I got his business card. I gave him my business card. Next, I want to talk about know God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is with us. In this life's journey, we have difficult times. Sometimes we have a challenge beyond our recognition. Not just health, retirement, change of jobs, moving out of the area, moving into the area, changing churches. Always know the common denominator in that is that God is with us throughout that journey. God is with us every moment of every day, every second. He is weaving people together. He's weaving our lives with other people, strangers, that I'm going to run into Kroger's today, and I'm going to see somebody there that needs help. I'm going to find somebody else that has an opportunity, perhaps tomorrow, that I can help them. We all need to be doing this interaction and connection with people. Again, it can be simple and simple that we're called by God to send a card, make a phone call, send up a prayer. And if that's all you can do is send a prayer every day, do that. That's what God wants you to do. But again, he has expectations from us every day, at every age, and every step we take. Expectations that we should live for him. A lot of you have great talents and great skills and great ability, but you wouldn't have those unless God give them to you, unless God would give them to me. But don't be like some of those we read about in Scripture that Paul mentioned about, that quit, that stop. I once did that. I stopped fishing one time. I stopped fishing for men. I was discouraged. I was distracted. I had changed jobs. And I wondered if I did the right thing. I got too focused on me and my pettiness and my self-absorption. Thankfully, Jim Bilderbeck helped me. Reached out to me. Helped me change back to the person that God wanted me to be. shared a book with me. And in that book, it talked about how we should be different. How we should be socially integrated, but spiritually distinct. Mike Cope wrote that book. There's a book like that in the library, a copy of that in the library. I want to encourage you all to know God, know the Father, to reach out to Him. So, on our journey, we're going to get to the point where it's our last day. Our last day. And some of you know that the title of my lesson today is, I Can Only Imagine. When that day comes, it is our last day. In Paul's case here with Timothy, he knew his impending death was soon. Everything I could find, and writers say, it was within weeks, perhaps not even a month, that Paul would be beheaded. He was reaching out to Timothy, pleading for Timothy to be strong, be courageous, carry on, do the ministry. And I'm pleading with you today, and myself, to do the same thing. Because when that last day comes, sometimes we know when it's going to be coming, and sometimes we don't know. But we want to encourage you to be prepared for that last day. When that day comes, when we will pass from this life, will you be ready? Face to face with Christ, that's who we're looking to. That's who we're going to see first. I can only imagine. How many of you saw the movie? You heard the other song, right? I can only imagine when that day comes, when I meet my Savior face to face. What will I do? Will I fall on my knees? Will I stand? Will I be able to stand at all? I want to encourage you to stay strong. Get right. Do better. You're not earning salvation. Nothing like that. But you want to be sure you're in God's Word. You want to be sure you're doing your ministry. He's created you and sustained you to this point in your life, to this day. He has great plans for you going forward. Eric shared with us about his job and his schooling. It's going to take him away for a few days, but he's going to stay connected with Bible apps, Bible plans, and prayer. I want to encourage you all to make sure you are fulfilling God's expectations of you. That's what I'm doing. Striving. Fulfill the expectations. Now, my wife told me a long time ago, I didn't marry a preacher. Well, that's pretty obvious, right? You can all applaud at that point. But he didn't marry a godly man. So I encourage you to maintain your godliness. Become more strengthened than you were in the past. Become more active in support of others. And it can start out slow. Don't ever stop. And if you're here today and you find yourself not prepared, you said to yourself, I am not ready. We encourage you to come forward. We can pray with you. We can baptize you in remission of your sins. Or get a hold of Kurt or I after services. Call us up tomorrow, any time of the day or week. You need prayer. Had a young lady call me yesterday and asked me to have a prayer with her, asked me to encourage her. This is what's going on in my life. I did that. She prayed for me. It's great. I'll tell you one last story. Last week after services, Beth Morris helped us out. Contacted a lady who had come into the building, a young lady who needed some support. Kurt and I met with her, chatted with her a little bit. Her boyfriend was, her fiance was in the car. They were homeless, living out of their car for years now. They came into the office, we was talking, explained everything to them, talked to them, asked them a bunch of questions, as I like to do, and we helped him out. We gave him the phone number and said, hey, call us when you get to Michigan, because their uncle was going to give him a last chance because he'd been on drugs. He's 2 years clean, went through different programs, but only Jesus Christ gets him through it. Right? I told him, call us. Kurt said, call us. They called me. About 15 minutes ago, she called me. Sent me a text message after that and said, hey, Steve, call me. We're up here in Michigan. Kurt will tell you, when she came in the office, and she might have said this to Beth, but she came in the office, she said, we've stopped at every places and nobody would help us. And I just got a feeling God was telling me to stop here and you guys would help us. That sounds like a good sales pitch, right? I believe it. Kurt believes it. 100% believe it. God put it on her heart to stop at Collier's Way because we could help her. It's on them. We give them money, not a lot. We give them money, give them some gift cards, give them some support, prayed with them. Not a big deal. But it worked. God was with them in their travel, got them there safely, and she's answered us. Again, just want to encourage you to stay strong. Stay sober-minded. Stay reaching out. Fulfill your ministry that God has given you, whatever that is. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing.